It's all about the payoff, not the payment.
Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to episode 38 of Finding True Wealth. Today, I'll be visiting with Sean Presnell from Academy Mortgage. Sean and I have been friends for a few years. He's the mortgage banker in our networking group. Instantly hit it off with Sean. He's a great big Michigan fan, just like me. So that's a great connection that we have. And, you know, I forgot to ask him about Michigan football on the podcast, but after we were finished up recording, I asked him what his prediction was for the 2018 season. And of course, he predicted Michigan undefeated, 13-0. And I agree with him. We're going undefeated this year. This is it. Okay, so on a more serious note, Sean and I our beliefs and values with mortgages and how they should be treated as a tool rather than abused were in a perfect alignment. I couldn't agree with everything that Sean says more that you're going to hear in the next 25 minutes. So without further ado, let's welcome in Sean. Hey, Sean, welcome to Finding True Wealth.
Thanks, Nick.
I'm really happy to have Sean here today. He is our mortgage broker in my business networking group. I've known Sean for a few years, and I have a lot of respect for the way that he approaches the business and the way that he treats his customers. So Sean is a great resource when it comes to lending. And Sean, why don't you tell us, you know, a little bit about yourself and your family and how you got involved in the mortgage industry.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm happily married to my lovely wife, Stephanie, and we have a wonderful son, Tristan, and then we have our little dog, Tara. Definitely, when I'm not working, I 100% enjoy and look forward to spending time with my family. I coach soccer.
You've had a whole life of experience of soccer, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I've played soccer since I was four, and I played it all the way up until I was 19, which that's kind of a story that led me into mortgages. I was playing some pretty competitive soccer, played through the college ranks, and then I was in a serious car accident, which ended my soccer career. Then at that point, I kind of never really looked in the mirror and said, what do I want to do beyond soccer? So at that point, I had to put, you know, really look in the mirror and think about what I wanted to do. And honestly, mortgages was not what I was looking to do. It was just more or less a summer job that has now turned into my lifelong career.
So it's not like you were 19 and you filled out the blueprinting book and you're like, I want to be in mortgages.
Correct, exactly. So, yeah, so at 19, I started in mortgages, which was in 2003, which obviously everybody knows kind of how that went as far as mortgages. So obviously if you do 2003 till now, I've been doing it for 15 years.
15 years, and it was a great start. Great time to be in lending, right? When, you know, everybody's refinancing, everyone's buying five houses.
It's one of those things. I got into mortgages and couldn't really believe what I was seeing before my eyes. I mean, one, I'm 19. Just about ready to turn 20, and I have no idea what a mortgage is personally, and I'm giving people mortgages, so that's a very, very, you know, poor thing to be happening for clients. And then obviously the products, knowing now what I know versus, you know, then, the products that were available to clients was we were honestly setting people up to fail. And, you know,
with like the adjustable rate mortgages and
The adjustable rate mortgages,
no cash down, stuff like that.
Yeah. And no vested interest into the houses, allowed to take cash out up to, I mean, there was programs that allowed people to take up to 125% of their home's value.
Wow.
So yeah, we were appraising the house for 100,000, but you can borrow 125,000. Now everybody's in the wrong there. Unfortunately there was a huge craving in the market for these mortgages. You know, people were purchasing these like crazy. But then also for clients, knowing that your house was only worth $100,000 and yet you're taking $125,000.
I mean, very foolish. Yeah,
very foolish. So, you know, to point the finger in one direction, you know, like when I seen the meltdown happen in 2007, 2008, at the end of the day, it was it was a collective issue. The clients were just his fault. They knew what they were doing a lot of times. And unfortunately, when products are there, people are taking advantage of certain things. You know, if you as the mortgage broker didn't do the loan, they were just going to go down the street and get it from someone else. Mm-hmm. So you're like, might as well. You can't say no, unfortunately, in our world. We can't. I mean, we're violating a bunch of rules if we do. So
that's right. That's discrimination and all those other stuff, right?
I once got in trouble for thinking I was making a smart decision for the client, and then they turned around and wrote a letter to the state, and I violated the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. So at this point, I no longer can say no if they qualify for a loan.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this, you know, if we fast forward till today, you're seeing probably more purchasing than refinancing, because it seems like, you know, if people were always refinancing for a lower rate, and, you know, rates are starting to come back up a little bit. So,
yes,
you know, you probably missed that opportunity, or you probably already took advantage of it, and so they're not looking to refinance again today.
Correct.
But the purchasing, you know, there's a lot of activity right now, right?
A lot of activity. The purchase market is skyrocketing. A lot of people are having problems purchasing just for the simple reason that inventory issues. And then home values are definitely, you know, we've seen a huge increase over the last 3 years as far as home values are concerned. Right now we've always been more of a purchase driven shop. We do refinances for our clients or anybody that's referred to us, but it's not something like some of these other places where we're seeking it and we're calling out and trying to get people to refinance. You know, you got to be very cautious with people like that, for the simple reason they're trying to create an opportunity. There's not a real benefit. They're trying to create a benefit and sell you on something. So that is, you know, I always tell everybody to be leery. There should be a net tangible benefit to everybody's loan, right? You should really be able to break it down. So these refinance shops that really call you and try and talk you into refinancing, you shouldn't have to be sold into this. It should be something you should be able to see naturally. And
got
you
know, it.
You should never, it's something that you and I talk about, you should never go from a 30-year fix to a 30-year fix to try and lower your payment. You know, if you're 8 years into that mortgage, you just lost 8 years. I mean, the one thing that everybody forgets is they'll calculate, oh, I'm saving $140 a month. In their head, that's what they're thinking.
But you're resetting the amortization table.
Correct.
You're adding 8 years to the loan.
Right.
Right. You need to refinance to a 22-year amortization.
Correct.
In this case.
Stay at the same or always shorten it.
I mean, yeah, maybe go 15. Yeah.
Right. One of the benefits to me is if I always took somebody and I was able to shorten the term and keep their payment the same, or it went up just a tad.
That's lovely.
But you never want to look at the monthly. You know, I always tell people you want to take your remaining years, obviously multiply that by 12, and that's your remaining payments, add your payment, and that's the total amount of payments. And then whatever your new term is, do that payment times those total amount of payments and look at it as a total term loan, not a monthly.
Yeah.
You know, and
so you're looking at the total cost, total repayment over all
correct,
the years.
Total repayment.
That's a good way to look at it. I've always looked at it just based on the payoff date.
Yep.
You know, but I see that point too. That's
correct.
Because that can be a staggering number.
Yeah. Sometimes people really don't even really see the number. And then, like, in their head, they see the monthly.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, no, it's a much bigger picture.
Yeah.
And then I make them do the number, you know, like, a 20 years, 240 months. I'm like, take this number times 240 months. This is what you're going to pay. Currently, this is what you're paying. So even sometimes shortening the term, I show somebody, you know, your payment may be going up $100, $150, but look at the amount you'd be saving.
Yeah. So a lot of times, if you're looking at a 30 versus a 15, it's like twice as much interest.
Oh, yeah. It's
right?
A lot.
Maybe even more. You know, it's staggering. So I like that exercise.
Yeah, obviously with home values increasing where they're at, the average loan amounts are increasing. So yeah, I mean, the amount of compounded interest it's huge.
Yes. So when someone's coming to purchase right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know I've heard some horror stories from you. With yeah. other shops, right? Other yeah. banks. And by the way, you're with Academy
Mortgage. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that.
So with you know, the mortgage lender matters when you're coming in.
Oh, absolutely.
In a competitive bid process. My understanding is that, you know, if you know, let's say a house is listed for 250, a lot of these are going for over 250,
mm-hmm.
and the seller is being smart about these pre-approval letters. You know,
yeah.
pre-approval from ABC and XYZ is different than Academy Mortgage with Sean's name on it.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's. I always tell everybody when you're in a purchase transaction, you are being judged by the people you're using. No one knows, let's say you're buying a house, no one knows who Nick Hopwood is in this transaction. But chances are in this field, the realtor will know myself, the listing agent, you know, and they may know the the agent that you're using to help you find your home. So who you use, whether it be the realtor and the mortgage company, is very, very important. If there's multiple offers, chances are, especially in these areas in Southeast Michigan, we're very, very known. Chances are we're going to know the agent. They're going to know us. We're very respected in this industry. So you might not have the highest offer, but you have the strongest pre-approval and probably a strong offer, you know, with your agent. So chances are you'll get an accepted offer simply based on who you're using.
It's relationship driven, right?
It is, absolutely.
Interesting. Now, what about when people are going to purchase and they're shopping their lenders and everyone's shopping for the lowest rate, right? There's more to it, right? Besides your reputation and the rate.
So yeah, I mean, talk about that. I mean, I tell everybody, no one should be, and myself included, no one should be drastically different. If there's a difference somewhere, you're paying for it somewhere else. You know, somebody's not giving you the big picture. I tell everybody, if you're talking to me, you should be able to call five other lenders right now and it should be able to be in the same ballpark numbers. We don't control the process as far as pricing is concerned. In 2011 with the Dodd-Frank bills and all that stuff that was passed, if two people walked in our office today, they're both getting the exact same program if that's what the rates were. I mean, interest rates do adjust a lot like the stock market. I mean, they're going, obviously, you know, you follow it. You've seen the volatility, especially over the last 2 weeks.
I mean, rates have been volatile as well.
Yeah, they've been very volatile. We've seen a 0.5% adjustment in the last 2 weeks. So you really, it's a teeter-totter system. I was talking to somebody just yesterday, and they were calling me from a referral from one of my realtors, and they were going from one of these local large lenders. And, you know, she's like, hey, break this down for me. I went through all the numbers, all this different stuff, and she's like, and her whole thing was the closing cost was really high with this other company. And I didn't really dig in. I don't really want to dig in too much about the other company because it's not my company. Let's talk about what Academy has to offer. So I really just went into what Academy had to offer. And she's like, well, you're $8,000 different. Well, that caught me off guard to where now I'm like, well, I shouldn't be $8,000 different because at the end of the day, Academy charges no fees, right? So at the best, we're $1,000 different on the processing and underwriting, which is a pretty typical standard for that cost. So I'm like, something's up. Well, she was talking so much about rate that they were buying down the interest rate through discount points.
Points, right? We're doing points again?
Correct. So in you know, one thing that people got to understand is points are not what they used to be prior to 2011.
Okay.
The lender's not making that. It's okay. A direct correlation to the interest rate. So it's like a teeter-totter system. If you charge yourself points, you'll get a lower rate. But again, after I went through all the different scenarios with the lady, I'm like, why are we paying $8,000 to save ourselves $37?
Oh.
Because at the end of the day, she saw the 4.5 instead of the 4.875 rate for her scenario.
Yeah.
So all she heard was the 4.625. Once I took the time to break it down, says, okay, you're paying $8,000 to save $37.
Each month.
Yeah.
$37 a month.
I'm like, this makes no sense.
That's a long, long break-even time.
That is a long,
she might not live there anymore.
Yeah, and that is one thing that I know we always talk about shortening the term and doing this and doing that, but every loan that I do, I work it up on a 5 to 7 year scenario.
Just in case they move.
The average person refinances, sells, or something within 5 to 7 years of their mortgage. The average lifespan of a mortgage is 5 to 7 years. So, you know, even when I do refinances, like we were just talking about, the savings, people will say, oh, I took you back to a 30, I'm saving you $500 and, you know, all these different things. I don't do it over a 30-year span to say what I'm saving you. I do it over a 5 to 7 year window to show you what I'm saving you, because the chances are you won't have that mortgage. I mean, when I pull people's credit, I can see mortgage, mortgage, mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, we had a refi craze where people are just refiing, you know, to save a quarter point.
So refinance an addiction.
It's a great way to put it. But yeah,
I mean, cash out refis.
Yeah. And we're, you know what, with home values, that is from 2008 until about, I don't know, as recent as 2 years, we really didn't see any cash out refinances. But obviously with the home values going where they're going in a lot of these areas, a lot of people are getting back into the cash outs.
Why do you think they would do a cash out refi as opposed to just having an equity line of credit on the house?
The only way I would ever suggest, me personally, and obviously, you know, we have a relationship with a bank that we do home equity lines of credit with. We personally don't do them. We just refer them out to somebody that we trust. The only time I would ever suggest refinancing your mortgage to do a cash out is if I was lowering the interest rate on that balance. Because I always tell clients, why would I want to take the balance of, let's say it's $150,000 and you want to get $20,000. So now we need a loan of $170,000. Why would I want to increase the rate on $150,000 to get myself $20,000? That's a very poor decision.
Yes.
But people will do it a lot, and they'll get sold on it very fast. They will call a mortgage company, and the mortgage company is not looking out for their best interest. They are looking out for their pockets.
Yeah.
So they'll write that mortgage like that.
Yeah.
Us on the intern will turn around and refer you out for a home equity line of credit, because chances are a lot of people may not even need the $20,000 right now. And a home equity line of credit is a very good tool to have just sitting there. You can open a home equity line of credit. You only pay on it as you borrow from it.
Exactly.
So, and some people I know that use it just for their businesses, different things, because they'll borrow and then pay it off in 2 months. You know, it's just like a check. You can use it, you know, whenever you need. So a home equity line of credit for cash out scenarios are very, very good options. Especially if you're having to change the interest rate on your much larger bands. But if you're looking to pull cash out and reduce the term, that might be beneficial too. I mean, if you could put it in the main mortgage and
that makes sense, even though it's counterintuitive. You know?
Sure. Yeah, right.
But I guess it's not the worst case scenario. When people talk, you know, when I'm doing people's... Oh, it's 9:30 a.m. When people are working with me on their financial plans, and everyone that I work with has their plan in place, whether they know it or not, okay, I want to make sure, one of the number one goals is that we can be debt-free at retirement. We don't want to retire, you know, with a brand new 30-year mortgage. And sadly, sometimes they come to me too late, or they don't listen, and it's just too late. You know, they're retiring at they're 65, and I've, you know, in my career, I've seen scenarios where, you know, maybe the best case is to just do a brand new refinance for a 30-year to get the lowest payment, because we just essentially say, you know what, it's never going to get paid off.
Sure.
And we'd rather have more cash flow to live, you know, in retirement rather than, you know, fight to have it paid off in 15 years. And then you're really getting older.
Right.
And now you have extra money, but you don't care because you're not as active, you know. Right. You want that money when you're earlier in retirement. So we've had cases where that's the best option. Obviously, if we have time and we have a longer runway, you know, like if you're 50 today and your goal is to retire at 65, it shouldn't be too hard to either pay extra on your existing mortgage to make it a 15, or if you can have a better situation by refinancing to a 15. Or sometimes people say, well, we're looking to move. Well, I say, you've got to make sure when you move that we're still on this age 65 plan. And if you're 52, that means we want to look at a 13-year loan.
Right.
You know, if you're 55, now it's 10.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know, how do you approach that with understanding that you've mentioned this 5 to 7 year average life cycle, right?
It's one of those things. I mean, when people call you for a mortgage, they're always, unfortunately, one of the main things that people call you for is they'll say, what can I afford?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is not something they should be asking me. I mean, I can tell them what they qualify for, and unfortunately, I would never, what guidelines allow, we should never be near. And
what is it, like 36% or something like that?
Oh, no. They allow you to go up to a 50% of your gross monthly.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
If you make $5,000 a month, gross, you know, you're not seeing $5,000 in your check.
Right.
You're going to see like less than four probably.
Correct.
After and other fees,
and we only
other
use
benefits.
We only use what's on your credit report. They don't take into consideration your gas bills, your cell phone bills, your what. None
so
of that stuff's taken into
consideration. If you're taking home $4,000 a month, you can afford a $2,500 principal and interest payment.
That's
absurd.
So your housing payment can't exceed 45%, but your total debt ratio between all your bills cannot exceed
50. You got a car loan,
right?
Plus the utilities, which don't even count in that.
Right.
So, dang.
You're not living.
You can't live, right?
Correct.
You can't even put gas in the car or pay for food,
right?
You know?
So I tend to always tell a client, you know, don't ask me what you should qualify for. Go back, talk to your wife if there's somebody else involved in this transaction, and figure out what you think you can afford. What's your budget? And I think that's the number one thing people need to look into based on when they're purchasing a home is, what do I want to budget for? Have a plan, like you always say, you know, having a plan. If I want to be retired by X, what payment can I afford to make sure to get this paid off, to have my plan to fulfill my goals, my end goal, which is to hopefully get this paid off. and not just always be living to lower the payment. Because the days of, since about 2006, of refinancing and potentially living in this house for $100 cheaper because rates were dropping, those are pretty much gone. I mean, chances are, even now we're talking about potentially lowering, shortening people's term.
Yeah.
It might not ever be in people's best interest even to shorten the term, because the 30-year fixed rates were so low for so long that with the upswing in rates right now, 15-year is going to exceed what most people's 30-year mortgages are on. So you're just, at that point, you're going to have to amortize it out yourself and pay that extra payment.
Yeah, and that's the discipline, right? So I can tell after talking with someone, for an hour, right? Yeah. Whether or not they're going to be able to do that.
Right, exactly.
It's all about being disciplined, right? So I understand when someone might have a volatile income. Maybe they have a sales job where a lot of it's commission-based or something, kind of like us, right?
Sure.
Not that I'm charging commissions, but, if the market drops by 30%, I mean, my income is going down.
Right.
Okay? There's no question. So someone who has that kind of volatility might say, well, I would rather have a 30-year and I'll just pay extra.
Correct.
I'll have the discipline to pay extra. But in case my income drops, I can back off temporarily without getting stuck mm-hmm. with negative cash flow on the 15 or having to refinance back out.
Correct.
Right. That's really messy. So I like that. But then there's some people, right, that have terrible discipline.
Terrible.
More than half the people. Okay.
Like right now, we're starting to see interest-only loans come back. Adjustable rate mortgages. Because right now, obviously, with home values going up, interest rates creeping up, what are they trying to create? Affordability, right? They're trying to make it appealing. So interest-only mortgages are coming back out. Adjustable rate mortgages. I haven't written an adjustable rate mortgage in probably 10 years, and I'm not going to write another one, but we're starting to see the push for them again.
There's good reason why Washington Mutual is no longer in business.
Yeah.
They were the ones pushing the negative amortization.
Yep.
Right? Like if the normal 30-year payment was $1,000 a month, you could pay $700.
Correct.
And your loan gets bigger. Your loan gets bigger every month.
Right. Exactly. And it's crazy that there was a market for that stuff ever. And they gave it to just anybody based on, you wanted to get in this house? I'm sure you've seen some of these different movies that, paint the picture of what went on. And for me to see those it's right on.
The Big Short.
The Big Short was right on. He went into that one, talking to a waitress, I believe it was. And she's like, I got three houses.
Yeah.
He's like, what? I mean, that's real. And I think, I don't foresee us going to a situation like that. Hopefully we learn, but I'm starting to see us get a more aggressive, with products, because they're trying to create affordability and the market's craving mortgages again to make money. And, that little bit scares me. Hopefully people learn their lesson.
Yeah.
I feel like the younger generation seen what their parents went through with some of this. So hopefully they don't make the same mistakes.
Like I look at 2008 and, I talked about this on a prior podcast where I talk about your second home, the anti-dividend. And my learning, just really brief recap, was we had a bunch of rentals before the crash. We bought them right with 20% down. But I also traded up in my house and got a big loan, okay? And I also was buying out my old partner for a big amount. And all of a sudden, there's all this debt. A lot. Mm-hmm. And we had the Florida condo. Big, 80% loan to value. And everything started crashing, right? My income goes down 30%. The tenants aren't paying the rent, but I still got to make that mortgage payment on all those other houses. And so as a result, I changed my belief about debt. Mm-hmm. I believe that debt is a tool, but it should not be abused. It should not be abused. And I guess you could call me like a Dave Ramsey debt hawk, because I'm always counseling people, let's pay extra. Let's get it paid off. Let's talk about the payoff and not the payment.
Yep.
So my learning lesson coming out of that crash was pretty extreme. And I counsel people using my own life experience. So I'll never be in that position again.
Sure.
I will not.
You learned a lesson.
But, what about everyone else, right? I mean, the regulations have been altered to some degree. But do you think that when you're talking anecdotally to people, have they learned?
I think it's getting... I think it's going to get harder. The problem I see is it's going to get harder with average wages versus home values with student loans. I mean, what people are having a very difficult time saving money, because the minute they come out of college, they're getting hit with these student loans. So now they're going to have to make these student loan payments.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think the industry as a whole is going to have to change to some extent. Something is going to have to give, because I don't see, if rates go up and home values go up, the affordability factor is getting, you know, it's getting crushed.
Right.
And I don't see how majority, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of people borrow their down payments, you know, so.
So they're borrowing from a family member?
Yeah, because they, you know, these kids are coming out of college and they don't have, you know, money. So, you know, the minute they get into a new position, their student loans kick in with some ridiculously high payments, and the cost of college is not, hasn't decreased. So
that's a big problem.
I mean, you're starting to see these people have to make house payments on student loans.
Right. So your student loan payment could be $1,000 a month. Now you have $1,000 a month mortgage and a $500 a month car payment.
Right.
And you're making $5,000 a month gross.
Right.
Doesn't work.
Yeah. No, the math is just not there.
I mean, it does not work.
It's simple math.
And the guy in that position has no money for a diamond ring. Okay.
Correct.
There's no money.
Right.
It's a sad position.
Yeah, and they've already shown what I believe they said the average age for a person getting married is like in their 30s.
It's now. Because they don't have the money for the ring, man.
Exactly. No, exactly. I mean, they don't even, I think they're living with parents longer than ever now, too. You know, it's the cost of living is, I think that's going to change the dynamic of mortgages. Something's going to have to give. I don't know what that, you know, I don't know what that bubble will be this time. I don't anticipate like a 2008 because I don't see it to that extent whatsoever. I mean, this is a more controlled environment. I mean, I'm getting a little more leery with some of the products that I'm starting to see come out. Like, I'm hoping they don't let it get chaotic like they did before. Now that I've been in the industry for 15 years and I've seen more, I see what damage that can create.
So, Sean, if someone's, you know, looking for a loan for a new purchase, and it could be, you know, immediately, a lot of people listen to the episodes right away, mm-hmm. but people can always come back. So, you know, what's the best way to reach you? Is it Academy, your website on Academy?
Yeah. You can always check out our website. It's just seanpresnell.com.
You want to spell it?
S-H-A-W-N-P-R-E-S-N-E-L-L and then .com. It'll take you right to our website. You can Google search us. Do your research regarding, you know, who you may be dealing with. But always the cell phone. That's 734-718-5579. That's the best way to reach me. We're right here locally in Plymouth, just down the street from Nick's office. And then we also have a location in Ann Arbor.
And you have a cool mobile app too, right?
And we do.
In the App Store?
Yeah, we do have a very cool app. You can go to my website and it's there available for download.
Okay. So I use your app for amortization calculation, you know, like any kind of loan calculator you want to do. Understanding the difference between a 15 and a 30 kind of thing.
It'll tell you what you can and can't afford, stuff like that.
That's
if
great.
You know your debts, you know, it's something like you know, use your Excel spreadsheet, put in your expenses. As long as they know their expenses, they put it in there. It'll tell them what they can afford.
Yeah, that's a great tool. So, Sean, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate you.
All right, thanks for having me, Nick.
Great conversation with Sean Presnell. And I forgot to ask him his tagline that he always says each week in our networking meeting. He says, "Buy or refi, I'm your guy." Kind of catchy, I like it. So if you have a portfolio of over $500,000 and you are considering how to manage your debt leading up to retirement or in retirement, I think I can help. Reach out to me for an appointment, peakwm.com. You can schedule online, or you can email me directly, nick@peakwm.com. And of course, you can reach out to Sean directly, seanpresnell.com. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.